Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See. It's just me in the studio here. I am here late tonight because I've been working on a piece for Morning Edition about the death of Mary Tyler Moore, who passed away on Wednesday. She was 80 years old. As you probably know, she was the star of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She was on the Dick Van Dyke Show. She was nominated for an Oscar for Ordinary People. And we thought, as we were putting this piece together, that it would be wonderful to talk to Rachel Bloom, who you probably know if you're a regular listener to this show, that she is the co-creator and the star of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on the CW. If you don't know that about her, check that show out. It's quite delightful. And because she does a show about a single woman and she does a show that is so funny, we thought it would be perfect to talk to her about this. And it was so much fun talking to her for the Morning Edition piece that we wanted to bring that interview to you. So that's what you're going to hear. I'm going to talk to Rachel Bloom about Mary Tyler Moore. She has some stuff to say about her own show. There's some really fun stuff in here, so give it a listen. Rachel Bloom on the influence of Mary Tyler Moore. So I saw that you said on Twitter, I couldn't do what I do without her. Can you talk about what that means to you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that it's, you know, the idea of pitching a show about a single woman was the least of our, you know, kind of not problems, but the concerns in pitching a show as specific as mine. Back when Mary Tyler Moore did her show, you know, the fact that she was a single woman was the thing that was controversial. And I was just reading that originally they wanted Mary to be divorced, and they were like, oh, you can't do that. So they just had her go through a breakup. And this was the first television show about a single woman in the city finding her way. And it not only is this show influential, but it inspired so many other shows that I now base my show on. I mean, Tina Fey said that she watched Mary Tyler Moore nonstop and creating 30 Rock. 30 Rock directly affected my show. And so it really is the foundation of so much of, like, peak TV.
I feel like you are too young, certainly, to have watched it when it was on. Did you watch it in reruns or elsewhere?
I did. I watched it on Nick at Night. And then I also watched Rhoda. One of my best friends is a massive Rhoda fan. And so she and I talk about Mary, both shows quite a lot. And she's also a TV writer. But I did watch it on Nick at Night. And I think that it didn't, you know, because by the time I watched it was in the 90s when a show about a single woman wasn't insane. And so I didn't realize how revolutionary it was until I actually started to learn about the history of television.
What do you specifically associate that show with in terms of your own enjoyment of it?
I was very funny. I think that someone being ultimately, you know, being funny and plucky, the idea of someone being a funny ingenue and that she was funny as well as the people around her, and that it was a woman cracking jokes, not just like a woman being the straight man for dudes cracking jokes. That was really cool to see.
Do you have a favorite episode that comes to mind?
It's trite to say, but like the Chuckles the Clown episode's amazing.
It sure is.
It's really, really good. And she does such an amazing job in it.
Yeah. It's funny because that episode, I was trying earlier to sort of find a good part of that to kind of play for people. And it's really so much of it is just her laughing or trying not to laugh.
Yeah. And you need the context of like the kind of scene leading into it and the seriousness. It's kind of like it's a slower burn.
Yeah.
If you will. But yeah, it is very physical, like what she's doing, even when she's like kind of silent in that scene.
How do you think that shows about single women have changed in the time since she made that show, other than just getting easier to make in general?
Oh, well, I think it just pushes it all further. I mean, if you look at, you know, shows like Girls or Broad City, where people are openly having sex and doing drugs and talking about birth control and abortion. I mean, it's taking the issues that kind of were the foundations of feminism, especially in the 70s, and actually being able to say them bluntly out loud rather than having to rely on implication or coyness. And so it's like taking that foundational stuff, but then just, yeah, being able to just say the thing for what it is.
Do you feel the influence of that show specifically? I know you talked about her influence on Tina Fey and Tina Fey's influence on you. Do you feel the influence of that show in your own show specifically?
You know what? We actually do. And I didn't realize it until, and Aline Brosh McKenna, my co-creator, watched it a ton. And I didn't realize how much of an influence it had until we were thinking about the season two theme song. And we were originally going to do a Mary Tyler Moore-like thing, this idea of pluckiness. And she's the girl everyone wants to be. We really wanted to play with that. And it really fits our show. And I hadn't realized that until we were talking about that theme song.
That is fascinating. Your second season theme song has gotten so much attention and is so interesting to me. I had no idea that you had another plan for it.
We did. And then, you know, to be honest, Lady Dynamite did something very brilliant that was not dissimilar to what we wanted. And, you know, I just wanted to do something new because they did it so well. It's the opening of the first episode of Lady Dynamite, Maria Bamford's show. But I mean, that idea of a plucky, confused ingenue who was adorable, but still very conflicted and had problems of her own and, you know, was a deep, nuanced person. That really relates to our show.
Yeah, one of the things that you do on your show, obviously, is play around a lot with the existing tropes about women in television and film and in fiction in general. It's interesting to me that you also are fond of kind of the foundational shows where some of those tropes come from. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that that's why I fell in love with comedy writing is I was in love with these tropes. I mean, I watched a lot of Nick at Night as a kid. I also watched just a lot of sitcoms in general. I watched a lot of TV and I loved them, but also then I liked edgy comedy that poked fun at tropes. And so it allows me to kind of have my cake and eat it too, especially on the show. I mean, our season two theme song is this Busby Berkeley style big showgirl dance number, which I love, but then I also know that it's silly and dated. And so it allows me to have my cake and eat it too.
What other comedies do you think are influential on your show in terms of those tropes?
Oh God, in terms of tropes. I mean, our show is so much drawn from romantic comedy movies. And there are so many to name, but, you know, romantic comedy movies and musicals. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, any of Rodgers and Hammerstein is actually, too. I mean, there are a lot of Rodgers and Hammerstein references. But even if you look at, like, the musicals of the 20s and 30s or, like, the musical 42nd Street, which was, the movie 42nd Street, of course, which was in the 30s and then became a musical, I think, in the 80s. But in addition to that, I mean, the season one opening theme song is a direct parody of TV theme songs over the years. So, I mean, Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, and then, of course, The Nanny, which was also kind of doing their take on those. The idea of just this happy, chipper, look at her, she's the girl, isn't she wonderful, here's the plot of the show.
Yeah, yeah, I can do the entire Nanny theme song. I won't, but I could. You know.
Oh, I can too. So yeah. We'll throw down sometime.
I was just going to say, sounds perfect. We appreciate this so much. This is so much fun. I'm so glad I got to talk to you. And I really appreciate you giving us a little bit of your unusual downtime.
Oh, no problem. And God, I'm sure I'll get off the phone and realize there are millions of other things I could have said because it's obviously like such an important thing to talk about. But thank you for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Okay, bye. Thanks again to Rachel Bloom for talking to us about Mary Tyler Moore. Full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts or at npr.org or on the NPR One app.